Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. Just like last night, tonight I am teaching on Jasmine's laptop, so I don't know if I sound a little different. I probably do, and if so, that's why. Hello, Om Vati. Nice to see you in the room, as well as everyone else. We are here now for the seven steps to awakening. As you all know, I am sharing from my journal on the seven steps, and tonight we will be starting with number 79. One second, because I'm on Jasmine's computer, I'm a little bit lost. Hold on one second. Oh my. Well, here's a link, I think. Hold on one second. Okay, I'm going to be a little slow and technically minimize. Oh my.
What'd you do?
Well, I minimized Pal Talk so I could get to this window. Oh, I guess I clicked down here to get Pal Talk back. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jasmine has a different operating system than I do, so there we go. Can I see both at once? Yes, this will be easier for me. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you a link. There you go. Oh, Lisa Hansen says that your computer makes me sound younger. So this is the link to the journal entry for quote number 79 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. If somebody is listening on the radio or listening to the recording later and you want to be able to get to this link, what you want to do is go to RDA7, that's the digit 7, not the word, RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And when you get to RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com, what you can do is click on step 1 up at the top. And after you click on step 1, you'll notice item D is number 76 to 100. So you click on number on item D, and then you just make your way to number 79 and click on 79. And that is where we will be starting tonight. What I would like to do before I start is I would like to take a moment of silence. So if y'all would join me in that moment of silence, I would appreciate it. Amen. All right, so the way I do this for anyone who may be new is first I read from the Seven Steps to Awakening. I read the quote, and then I go to my journal and I read and share about what I wrote in my journal after contemplation of the quote in the Seven Steps to Awakening. So, beginning with number 79, if you happen to have the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, it's on page 29. And the quotes in this area of the book are from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, and this is quote 79. There are so many theories devised for explaining things. All are plausible. None is true. I'll read that again. There are so many theories devised for explaining things. All are plausible. None is true. So if you go to the Seven Steps Journal, and I'll go ahead and just paste the link in the room in case, I think I will, maybe I won't. Yeah, here we go. In case anyone has entered since I pasted it last time, there's the link to number 79. If you go to the journal, this is what I wrote after contemplation of, excuse me, of that Nisargadatta quote. Truth cannot be explained. Truth cannot be understood. Truth cannot be conquered by the understanding, cataloging mind. Therefore, any explanation of truth that can be understood is not true. Do not hold on to it. Let go of it and follow where it points. Of course, many of us have heard the famous saying, I can't even think of the famous saying, but the idea is that you have to look at where the finger is pointing, not at the finger, right? I didn't quote it perfectly, but I think you know what I'm talking about. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, in NTI Revelation chapter 1, it tells us the same thing. In fact, it talks about the symbols that will be sent to help awaken us. But it tells us not to stop at the foot or the feet of any symbol. It says that our job is to keep moving by letting go until there is nothing left to let go of. I was talking to Nikki, who is my partner this month in the CMC ordination program, about how perfect this path has been for me. You know, starting with Peace Pilgrim, moving into A Course in Miracles, NTI, the teachings of Inner Ramana, which of course introduced the teachings of Ramana Maharshi and Muji, and then this year in the Seven Steps to Awakening. And what I can see as I look at this path is that there has been teaching that has occurred on this path. And there have been symbols that have been given to me. For example, the symbol of the code that was given to Laurent and me to be helpful along the way. But what I can also see is that everything that has been given for, I'll say, a time. You know, like A Course in Miracles was really my primary study for a time. And then there came a time to put A Course in Miracles to the side and move on to something else. And what I notice as I am in the Seven Steps to Awakening, what seems to be happening with me with this book, is it is taking the coaching of letting go to a whole new level. It's the level that, you know, is really taught in NTI 1 Corinthians about becoming the empty shell, where you hold on to nothing, not even the teachings of Holy Spirit, or not even the teachings of whoever your teacher was. That those teachings were just a bridge, and that really what we want to do is go beyond the bridge, right? To the other shore, as Ramana Maharshi would say. So the mistake that we make along the way is that we become attached to our symbols, whether we're attached to A Course in Miracles, or whether we're attached to Ramana Maharshi, or whether we're attached to something else. And we put those symbols up on a pedestal, and we don't understand that all of our errors about what is real and what is not real are still present. It's just now they're kind of being projected in a new way onto a new thing. You know, now it's the Course. The Course is the gospel, you know. Or now it's Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi is the gospel. So what Sri Nazar Gadatta is making clear to us, or at least that's what it felt like to me after I contemplated number 79, is that there is nothing that anyone can explain to us or that the mind can understand in any way that is truth. If someone is able to explain to us, for example, the difference between ego and Holy Spirit in the mind, right? And we're able to learn that, and then we're able to discern between those two voices, and then we're able to start really listening, you know, primarily to Holy Spirit and learning to let ego go, that is all very helpful, but that's not truth, that's bridge. And the evidence of that is the fact that we were able to understand it. Jamie wants outside. Hold on one second. There you go, my love. Oh, did you change your minds? There. There you go. She might be hungry, Jasmine. Huh? All right, so let's go on to number 80. Let's scroll down. If you're in number 79, what you can do is scroll down. Hopefully you can. And just above the dark gray area on the left side, you'll see a blue number 80. If you click on that, that will take you to number 80 in my journal. What I'm also going to do, in case anyone new has entered the room, is I'm going to copy and paste this for you. So you'll have a direct link to number 80. There we go. And first I'm going to read number 80 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj said, "To see that all knowledge is a form of ignorance is itself a movement of reality." Again, to see that all knowledge is a form of ignorance, is itself a movement of reality. So going to number 80 in the journal. This just happens to be the one that I posted either today or yesterday, very recently. I think I posted this yesterday. Seeing expands and changes as awakening from illusion occurs in a movement towards reality. Yet all states of seeing, those of illusion ignorance and those of awakening, are seen by and within reality itself. Reality is the never-changing, always-present isness of all states. In NTI Hebrews chapter 1, it says something like, "You are the one that has said you are changing." The Father has never for a moment said that you are changing. And so the idea is, of course, that we are looking at our experience in this world, our experience of perception. And many of us can definitely notice changes in our experience of perception. But still being misidentified with the perceiver as what we are, we then make statements like, "I'm changing," or "I'm awakening," And we believe these statements without noticing that what's really happening is we are still simply misidentified with the perceiver. Our true self never changes, right? So it's just like NTI Hebrews 1 says, you are the one that says that you are changing. Your father, not for a moment, has said that you are changing. However that is worded in that book, but that's the idea. So, a part of what is happening in the seven steps to awakening, remember I mentioned that NTI Revelation says that your job is to keep moving forward by letting go until there's nothing left to let go of. One of the things that the seven steps to awakening is coaching us to let go of is the idea of progress, or the idea of a perceiver that is or isn't awakening. Letting go of that entire identification. So I'll just read this one again. So this is not denying that our perception changes. And both NTI and A Course in Miracles talk about moving from one type of perception to true perception. So this is not denying that our perception changes, or that that's what happens to the perceiver. It's just pointing out that the perceiver is not our truth. So, seeing expands and changes as awakening from illusion occurs in a movement towards reality. Yet all states of seeing, those of illusion ignorance and those of awakening, are seen by and within reality itself. Reality is the never-changing, always-present isness of all states. All right, we can scroll down again. And just above the dark gray area on the left, you'll see a number 81. You click on the number 81. And I will post this link in the room. Before going to number 81 in the journal, I will go to number 81 in the book. Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. If you have the book, you might know why I'm laughing. He says, you want immediate results with an exclamation point. Made me think of the microwave and how, you know, we do. We want everything so quickly. You want immediate results. We do not dispense magic here. Everybody does the same mistake, refusing the means but wanting the ends. You want immediate results. We do not dispense magic here. Everybody does the same mistake, refusing the means but wanting the ends. All right, let's go to the RDA Seven Steps Journal, number 81. Forget about the end result. Forget about any ideas of enlightenment or awakening. Focus now on what is given as the best way to be now. Follow current moment guidance, intuition, knowing. Be that with all of your attention, heart, and all else will follow. Obviously, another one of the letting goes that the seven steps to awakening, at least as I hear it, is quoting us to let go of, is the idea, and especially the goal of awakening or enlightenment. And I would guess, I guess I don't know this for sure because I don't know your experience, but I would guess that many of you are familiar with the frustration or the self-judgment or maybe even the complete feeling of unworthiness that can come along with having a goal of enlightenment and yet not finding yourself achieving it, right? And if you just look at that, if you just look at the frustration or the sense of unworthiness or what, or the self-judgment, whatever, that comes along with that, then if you know ego's signature at all, then you know that that has to be ego. And Jamie wants out again. Hold on. So what this is asking us to do is go ahead and just forget about that. Now, it's not saying forget about that and then just dive full-fledged into your ego. It's saying forget about that goal or that idea of enlightenment and instead just focus on the present moment intuition. You know, present moment intuition never ceases to amaze me. When I do pay attention to it and when I do listen to it, because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, just as things play out based on the fact that we listened to that intuition, we can see that that intuition is far wiser than we would have been on our own. One example that comes to mind right now for me is last Friday's teaching, so that would be March 3rd. I talked about this teaching last night. The March 3rd teaching of A Course in Miracles Original Edition. I don't know the course well. I mean, I cannot tell you when I'm reading a paragraph what is coming in the next paragraph. And I certainly do not sit down and read in advance what we're going to be reading. I don't even have, to be honest, the interest to do that. So when I was teaching on Friday, I was teaching from a state of what I told Nikki was dumbness. In other words, I didn't know what was coming. There was no way I could have had a plan, you know. But I was following intuition. And if you listen to that teaching, you'll notice, for example, in I think it was the first paragraph I read, I didn't do a lot of commentary. I just felt to keep reading this one sentence about three times. I said, I feel like reading the sentence again. And I feel like reading the sentence again. I just kept reading it. That was simply intuition. Every time I would stop reading it, I could feel an intuitive prompt telling me to read it again. And by the end of the teaching, that sentence, for me, was very important. And I found myself at the end of the teaching going back and reading it again. But I could not have known at the beginning of the teaching that that sentence was going to be a key for me at the end of the teaching. There's another place within the teaching, it's around the second paragraph of the introduction to chapter 17, where all of a sudden I found myself talking about something from the Seven Steps Journal. I was talking about how everything that we imagine, even many, many things that we think are truth, are illusion. I talked about, what we call the afterlife is illusion. Reincarnation is part of the illusion. Even physical healings are a part of the illusion. I made a pretty big deal about this. And even when I was making this pretty big deal, you know, I could hear within my own mind, why are you talking about all this stuff? And the truth is, I didn't know. It was just coming. But then, within the next paragraph or two, Jesus started talking about how we want to bring truth to illusion. And suddenly all of that talking that I just did without knowing why I was doing it made so much sense. It's just an example that I'm throwing out there about if we forget about enlightenment, if we forget about, you know, future goals, and just stay in this moment, listening to that intuition. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. It's somehow guiding us. It's amazing. It's beyond anything any individual human could ever come up with. And so you witness that and you know that that's true. And that's the practice that's being recommended here. The practice that is being recommended here is to forget about the future and just stay in the now, stay in discernment now, follow that intuition. You don't have to know why you're saying something. You don't have to know why you're saying something. Oh yes, Cheryl, it was the 3-2-12 teaching. That's right, the 3-2-12 teaching of A Course in Miracles original edition, and it is posted on reginadonacres.com. But intuition, you know, I woke up this morning, I mean, this is not important, but I woke up this morning with just this intuition to wear a skirt to church. I could just really feel it, you know, to wear not only a skirt, but a certain skirt. And when I got to church today, there was a special group there today at church, and they were doing a little dancing thing, and we were all invited to get up and dance. But I noticed that the vast majority of the ladies that came to teach the dance had on the exact same style skirt as me. And I commented on it to one of the ladies afterwards. I said, you know, I really woke up with a strong intuition to wear this skirt, and I get here, and you know, most of you all have on the same kind of skirt. And she says, that's what we're supposed to wear because of the way it flows when you dance. See, even little stuff like that. I mean, it's not even important. But yet intuition somehow guides, and what I perceive is just an incredible miracle, an incredible obviousness that the individual isn't true, an incredible obviousness that there's some kind of a connectedness here that comes from my own experience. So again, this is saying forget about the end result. That's literally a distraction. Forget about the end result. Forget any ideas of enlightenment or awakening, right? Instead, just focus now on what is given as the best way to be now. Follow current moment guidance, intuition, knowing. Be that with all of your attention, heart, and all else will follow. All right, so I'm going to scroll down. And just above the gray area, you can click on number 82. Oh, another funny little thing about the skirt, by the way. Is, you know, I had every intention of, I had some skirts that I bought for India. In fact, I was with Om Vati when I bought the majority of them. We were in Denver. And I had worn them a few times prior to going to India. So I had the thought in my mind that I would wash them, you know, before the trip, which makes perfect sense, at least to someone like me. But when it came right down to it and I was getting ready, the feeling was just, you know, don't wash them, you know, and you know, I just thought, it's true, I don't really have the time, I got a lot to do, and you know, they tell me it's dirty in India anyway, okay, I won't wash them. So I packed all of those skirts without washing them. But when I got back from India, I did wash them in cold water, and I hung them up to dry, and yet they shrunk, probably about a good 5 inches, which would have made them too short to wear to India. So see, even that intuition not to wash my skirts before I went to India was perfect, because I would have washed them like a day or two before the trip, then suddenly they would have all been too short and I would have had nothing to wear. You know, again, it's not anything overly meaningful. It's just that, like that quote said, everything takes care of itself if we just stay in the moment and follow that intuition. In fact, Om Vati, I guess you guys have figured out that's the one that we have called Lisa Hansen. When she was in India, she and I communicated a little bit. And one of the things that she actually commented on a couple of times about India was how everyone there, including the animals, including the cows and the dogs, seem to move on an intuition. And she was saying that was one of the things that she, didn't really look forward to leaving, was how everyone just moved on this intuition, and you can see it there. You can see how the cows, the dogs know right when to get out of the way of the motorbikes. The traffic there by our standards is crazy, and yet somehow it all works. So that's what this is recommending, that we learn to move on that intuition. Let go of our, I'll call it our Western thinking mind, and find that intuition which is in us and learn to move on it. And if it says to wear a certain thing, we don't need to know why we're wearing a certain thing. If it says to don't wash clothes, we don't need to question that. Well, but my mom taught me to always wash clothes when they're dirty. Just follow it. And everything else takes care of itself. Enjoy watching the unfolding. Enjoy watching how everything fits together. All right. I gave you the link for number 82. First, I'm going to go to the book and read Sri Nizar Gadada Maharaj. He says, I cannot solve your problem by mere words. You have to act on what I told you and persevere. It is not right advice that liberates, but the action based on it. Last night, the question came up, basically, to practice or not to practice. And today, in fact, another friend wrote to me, and in a way that same question came up, to practice or not to practice. The way she said it is, do I really have a choice, or, in the traditional teaching of the script, are all choices just made and it only seems that I have a choice? I can't say that I actually know the answer to that. What I can say is that teachers like Ramana Maharshi and Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj and A Course in Miracles and NTI and many others teach about making choices and teach about spiritual practice. And in my experience, there seems to be the ability to make a choice, and there seems to be the ability to practice spiritual practices, and they seem to have some kind of effect in changing my perception. That's all I know. That's all I know. And right here, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj is saying, I cannot solve your problem by mere words. You have to act on what I told you and persevere. It is not right advice that liberates, but the action based on it. So, do what you will with that. Let's go to my journal entry, number 82. You'll find that in this journal, I often feel to hyphenate words. It's like one word by itself doesn't capture what I'm feeling after the contemplation. So I'm kind of creating more full words, right? Fuller words through hyphenation. Hopefully it's not too confusing. Total immersion practice is total being focus. Neither has to do with what the body is doing or not doing. Both are focus of mind, attention, being. Always present being is the attention of mind, or mind is the attention of mind. Identity, which is an idea function of mind, is placed with attention focus. Attention focus on mind identifies mind as the. Attention focus on being realizes self as self. Total immersion practice is the way. That is total being focus. So what I heard in Nisargadatta's statement was that to talk about being, to talk about capital S self, to talk about I am not the mind, I am the isness, is nothing. It's just nothing. To even read about it and journal about it in the morning, and then to get up and just go, you know, fully back into the Regina character as if this is who I am all day long, is just not helpful. What I heard in this is that what I need to do when I spend my mornings with the Seven Steps journal and spend my time in contemplation and spend my time writing these things is I also need to the best of my current ability, spend my day practicing it. And the primary teaching that I'm picking up in the Seven Steps journal is that primary teaching of being aware in whatever way I currently can. Being aware that I am not this body, I am not this personality, I am not this mind, these stories are not real, this world is not real. Looking for that which is and putting my attention there. And what's interesting is the way I hear the teaching is it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I mean, I'm going to be doing whatever I'm called to do in the moment. You know, like today I went to church, came back, had a phone conversation with Nikki. Let's see, we went and looked at a gym, then we went to a pet store, then we went to Sonic. I know you guys are jealous about that part. At least some of you. And then we took a walk, and now I'm teaching. The fact that all of those activities seem to be going on does not in any way get in the way of this practice. And in fact, I can tell you that while these other things were going on, there were what I call remembrances going on in my mind. Remembrances about the world is not real. Remembrances about I am not this perceiver. Remembrances about noticing to the best of my current ability, that isness. And I don't know how this helps. You know, if somebody was to say to me, well, Regina, how in the heck is that helpful? I don't have an answer. All that I know is that the teaching that is coming to me and has been coming to me since the teachings of Inner Ramana are all pointing at this practice. And my heart, you could say my inner calling, is to follow this practice. And so I do to the best of my ability. And my best of my ability would not be what my ego would call perfect. It has to be perfect. My ego would not call it perfect. But, you know, I'm always reminded of something that Peace Pilgrim said. She said, live up to the highest light that you have, and more light will be given. So I do my best, and I do not judge myself for the times when I may get caught up in, you know, whatever is being presented in the world. It's just when I notice I'm caught up in whatever is presented in the world, I immediately return to the practice. So that's number 82. Danielle, when you get a chance, can you flip a light switch for me? It's getting a little dark in here. I'm going to go to number 83 so you guys can scroll down. Thank you, Danielle. And on the left, you'll see the number 83. You can click on that. I hope you can still hear me okay. Jasmine just jumped in the shower, and I guess the water pipes are directly behind me. It's kind of loud, so if you hear that roar, it just appeared. That's what that is. Here is a link to number 83 if you're new to the room. I'm going to read number 83 from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. By doing, you succeed, not by arguing. By doing, you succeed, not by arguing. All right, let's look at the journal, number 83. It is time to be quiet in practice. Let others believe what they believe and think what they want to think. Do not get caught up in making points about what is right or wrong. Do not get caught up in making points about what is most helpful or least helpful toward awakening. Let each one follow his own self. Do not even think in private that you are right or know better. Let this pride go completely. Be still. Trust the movement of all things as they are, without interference from you. This particular journal entry is something that I do feel that I have put into effect. I am checking to see if I do. I feel that I have put this into effect. Certainly in the past, you know, if someone had asked me a question, for example, about choice, do we have a choice, do we not have a choice? My answer would have been, we definitely have a choice, and here's how you make the right choices. Here's how you discern between ego. Here's how you discern between Holy Spirit. You know, you are always doing best if you choose Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, I would have answered this way because you've heard these teachings from me. Now, when someone asked me that same question today, my answer was, to trust all things. To trust all things. That means whatever choice you made. I said you can have willingness for a higher, and that was in quotes, for a higher way of seeing or realizing. That's kind of reminiscent of Peace Pilgrim's statement, live up to the highest light you have and higher light will be given. You know, so whatever seeing you have now, you can have willingness for higher seeing. But I said, you know, to judge yourself for whatever choices you're making now is just never helpful. Also, denial is not helpful. Find the balance between the two. And that was the end of my answer. If you look at that answer carefully, it was an answer. And there were things in there that the person, if they felt to, could contemplate on and receive their own inner guidance. But there was nothing from me that was interfering with whatever that person may be feeling, believing, whatever. There was nothing at all of a hint, you're doing it wrong, here's the way to do it. Trust all things. Why? You know, I know that if we don't have the idea in our mind now, we've had the idea in our mind before, but we have to help each other. You know, so why wouldn't we teach each other? Or possibly in a friendly, non-judgmental way, correct each other. Why not do that? And I think that maybe that is sometimes appropriate, so I'm not even going to comment on that directly. I'm only going to comment on my present guidance. My present guidance seems to be a pulling away from everything. And letting all things be as they are. And when I say pulling away from everything, I mean pulling away from having any opinions about it, pulling away from having any attachments regarding it, thinking it should be one way or another. Right? In that way, it's a pulling away. So my guidance is pulling away from everything, and I cannot simultaneously pull away from everything and at the same time tell someone else what is right or wrong for them. If I'm going to trust all things, then that means trust all things. It doesn't mean anything other than that, as far as I can hear now. So that means, you know, the people that are in my orbit, the people that are around me, as I see them making choices, I simply accept their choices. I don't allow myself ideas. I mean, I can see the ideas fly across the mind, but I don't let them stick. I don't grab onto them. I don't allow myself the ideas that that wasn't the best choice that person could have made, or that was the best choice that person could have made. Or if I do see myself grabbing onto that idea, then I very quickly let go of it. Like I said last night, drop it like a hot potato. Because the way it makes sense to me is I am either trusting all things as they are, or I'm not. I don't see it right now for me. I don't see a middle ground there. So it is time to be quiet in practice. Let others believe what they believe and think what they want to think. Do not get caught up in making points about what is right or wrong. Do not get caught up in making points about what is most helpful or least helpful toward awakening. Let each one follow his own self. Do not even think in private that you are right or no better. Let this pride go completely. Be still. Trust the movement of all things as they are, without interference from you. So maybe I'd make a good mother-in-law then, you know. That's what mother-in-laws are famous for, right? Is always interfering and telling the daughter-in-law how things are supposed to be. Maybe I'd make a good mother-in-law. And Om Vadi is saying, life continues to unfold regardless of our choices. It doesn't stop and say, whoa, she just made that choice? So yes, I am joining that life perspective, that life process. That, thank you. That's beautiful. All right. We're in number 83. You can scroll down and click on number 84. And I will post a link in the room. It's funny, I've been using this computer now for about 45 minutes. I still feel a little bit handicapped. It's funny how you get used to one piece of technology a certain way. You feel a little handicapped when you switch to something a little different. All right, I'm going to read number 84 in the book. This is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Now I know nothing, for all knowledge is in dream only, and not valid. Oh, Adele is quoting A Course in Miracles, lesson 286. Oh, sorry, 268. A little dyslexic there. ACIM lesson 268. Let all things be exactly as they are. All right, again, number 84, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Now I know nothing, for all knowledge is in dream only, and not valid. All right, let's look at the RDA Seven Steps journal. What we call knowledge comes from past learning. To believe past learning is knowledge is also to hold on to the past as if it is valid now. Now is always fresh, new. Past learning covers now with ideas and concepts from the past, including ideas and concepts born from mind interpretations that were never valid in the first place. In other words, what we call knowledge isn't knowledge. It is illusion, hiding now? Do I think I know the people in my life? Do I think I know what to expect in a specific circumstance? Where does this knowledge come from? The past? Is it, therefore, valid? So a little bit of inquiry at the end there. I'm not going to make the same statement about this quote that I did the previous one, where I basically said I do think I'm living that one in my life now. This one I'm doing my best. Doing my best and noticing multiple times a day that I just did it again. Noticing multiple times a day that I just made a statement about something, you know, how Jasmine's going to react to something maybe, based on my past experience and my past interpretations, which were probably never right in the first place. In fact, definitely weren't right in the first place. So, I do see a number of things in my head a day to say that fit into that category of knowledge, that knowledge meaning bullshit, that I don't say. But I also hear a number of things a day come through my mouth, and what pretty much seems to happen, at least a lot, is that I catch it right after I say it. I do know that in the last couple of years, I have been on an increasing trend of saying, I don't know. So recognizing that I don't know in places where I would have thought I knew before is on the increase. And I want to allow that to increase. I want to, well, notice what Nisargadatta says. Nisargadatta says, now I know nothing, right? Because everything that I think I know is based on my past. So, I'm learning, is what I can say about this one. I am learning more and more and more when people ask me questions where there's an answer that the mind wants to provide, you know, about what that thing is out there in the field, or, you know, what that star is, or, you know, is that a star or a planet, or, you know, just anything. You know, how's Jasmine going to feel about this? You know, what's Danielle over there thinking? I'm learning more and more and more to say, I don't know, but I definitely need to continue. Intense practice on this one, because the habit of thinking I know is a very ingrained habit. So that's all there is, I think, to say on this one. I think it's, at least to me, it's pretty clear. Pretty clear. So let's scroll on down and click on number 85. Again, that will be on the left. And once again, I will, in my slow, handicapped way, post the link in the room. Voila, there you go. Number 85 in the book, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. All experience is born of imagination. I do not imagine, so no birth or death happens to me. Again, all experience is born of imagination. I do not imagine, so no birth or death happens to me. As we said on Friday, reincarnation is not truth, it is part of the illusion, right? We're not saying it's not experienced, we're just saying it's not truth. Number 85 in the journal. Here we go. All the world and all experience comes from mind. Therefore, it can be said that the world and experience are after mind. That which is before mind is, therefore, before experience and untouched by it. The body may be born and die, but the body is part of the world. That which is before mind is not born and does not die. Ask, what am I? Inquire for the truth of reality. Another one of the things that I said the other day that is not truth, it may be experience, but it's not truth, is what we tend to call afterlife. You know, my grandmother recently passed away. And of course, you know, a few people said something which, you know, it's a very nice thing to say. I don't want to appear to be criticizing what was said, but you know, they said, well, your grandmother is still with you, you know, in spirit, right? She's still here. You just can't see her anymore. And that is just not how I understand the teaching, nor is that how my heart sees. When my grandmother passed away, the honest thought in my mind was, that story has ended now. Now, of course, I know that life itself continues. Life itself does not end. But that character of Mary Jane Akers, whom I loved dearly and enjoyed thoroughly, and I'm very grateful it was a part of my experience, right? My grandmother. In fact, I spoke at the funeral, and that's what I said. I was just very grateful that she had been my grandmother. And there's no regret, no lack of love. It was a completely full and wonderful experience having her as my grandmother. But my understanding is the character is the character, and those stories end. Personality is after mind. Body is after mind. Even the world is after mind. Everything that mind made up is unreal and therefore not eternal. That which is eternal is before mind. This is the way I understand it, and this is the way I accept it. And this is what I hear Nisargadatta Maharaj saying when he says, all experience is born of imagination. I do not imagine, so no birth or death happens to me. I do not hear him speaking as a man, as a personality, as a body. I hear him speaking from that which is before mind. That's what I hear him representing. And in fact, that's what Jesus represented also in the Bible when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's when he really crossed the line to a lot of his Jewish listeners. But this is what he was speaking from, before mind. And I got to be honest, at this point of where I am, I do not want to become confused any more than is just naturally happening at this point, between reality and unreality. I do not want to entertain any ideas that Regina somehow continues. That, you know, Regina somehow can become awakened or enlightened. It's like we talked about earlier tonight. The perceiver itself is not real. Not only is what is perceived not real, but the perceiver is not real. And that takes us back to that question, what am I? All right, so it looks like I'm out of time for tonight. Now, usually I come back on Mondays, but because we're going to have someone here working on the internet tomorrow, I won't be able to. If I can reschedule that later in the week, I will. And I will announce that for you guys. If not, the next Sunday night I will be here, and assuming the flight gets me back on time. And we'll just continue with number 86 next Sunday night. All right? Thank you, you guys. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I love you. Bye.